Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. Y'all are listening to the Overseas Connection podcast.
Shut up and sit down.
Here we go.
Would you kindly? I think we're just getting started.
Medic!
I'm a witcher.
I think this is more than you can handle.
He sits on his ass all day.
Let's do this.
Hey, everybody. Thanks for tuning in. Episode 587 of your Overseas Connection podcast. Today is July, not even June anymore. It's July 12th, 2020. The year is just flying by faster than I can barely catch my breath.
Oh, man, that's a good thing.
It is. That wonderful voice, one of the hosts today. We have a trio for you. Trio total, that is. Kim Woods on the podcast.
Hi.
Kim.
Yep, that's me. I apologize for the noise. Windows are open, motorcycles are in. My dad may go by with a lawnmower. I'm sorry. So
that's okay. That's all right. Things happen. You know, hey, it's Sunday. We get all the stuff that we forgot to do out of the way, done.
Right.
I'm gonna mow the lawn later on today, I think.
Yeah.
It all depends upon how hot it
Have
is.
Have fun.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah, exactly. All right. Also on the show, dropping frames like a hot tune on radio, we've got Mr. Robin Tate.
Yeah, it says I'm dropping frames at 18% at the moment, and that's pretty bad, so maybe we can get some feedback from the stream to see how bad it actually is. Sorry if it is, don't understand why, but there you go. Hello, it's Robin Tate here. I am in Northern Ireland, yes, way up the north of Ireland, and today is the glorious 12th. You'll hear about that soon.
Yeah. I'm going to make a suggestion as to what the mm-hmm. cause might be, and you're not going to like that suggestion.
What?
Uh-oh.
And that is, you added a bunch of security cameras that use Wi-Fi.
No.
And no, you're not going to buy that? All right. No. Just saying.
No, because this is direct wired to the main line, so that's using the internal Wi-Fi rather than going onto the internet. So it's not going... The cameras aren't going out onto the internet, so unless I pull it, unless I grab it, so it's push.
Okay.
You have to access it. So yeah.
Gotcha. All right.
No, it's not that.
Well, whatever the reason, we are a little sluggish. That's okay. It happens.
Yeah.
Age.
It does. As we get older, we get a little more sluggish.
Right.
Look, if you are watching right now, likely you are either on Twitch or on YouTube. So thank you for catching the show this week. We used to be on Mixer. Not anymore. We cut Mixer off at the knees, at the announcement of that they were closing it down, even though we technically could still be on Mixer right now if we wanted to be. We are not. We've got some birthdays we should probably give a quick little celebration to. Dastardly Jabby, he... is turning, how old do we think he's turning today? I'm feeling 53. 53 sounds like a good number to me.
Yeah.
So Chris, happy birthday, Chris.
Yeah, the last time I seen him, he was, you know, he was working out and doing lots of stuff, and he was looking younger than he actually is, but I think it's closer to probably 65, 70 actually now, because he works out so much, you know, so...
That could be the case. Yeah. That definitely could be the case. Also celebrating a birthday, David Morton. He, I have good authority, is 84. So, well done, old fella.
Yeah, you
good
know
on
what?
You.
You joke about this stuff, but, you know, sooner rather than later, this is going to be the thing. Oh, sorry, it'll
I
be.
Know.
And this week, Bongo the Saiyan, he was buried. Another one. Yeah, another one falls off, you know. Oh, dear. Yeah, happy death day to you.
Well, at some point, I will reverse course and I will take things much younger. So that will be the
plan.
Yeah,
well, that's a midlife crisis sort of thing. Is that what you're going to do?
It is.
You're going to take younger things?
It is.
Does Cindy know?
Well, I need to find a new source since Epstein's out of the picture. So there's that.
Too soon, too soon, too soon.
We're not soon enough. I don't know. Hey, real quick, Gary Lever doing well. getting better. So continue to send the well wishes, the good vibes, and hopefully we'll have a new update for Gary soon. But my understanding is
he had a meeting.
Much better and much better situation than he was a few weeks back. So, unfortunately, if you are watching this live, it the buffering is happening. So is it? Hopefully, we're getting a little bit of may not be able to be watched. Who knows? We'll continue on though. We'll have the audio version, of course, and we'll release that, and so all will be fine, at least in my head. All right. Let's talk some story time, guys.
Okay, a bit of that.
Happy birthday to you.
And a bit of that.
Hooray, it's story time. Hooray, it's story time. I'm so glad to be with you today.
All right, so we've got a lot going on this past week. Certain things important. Certain things not so much important, but let's start with the important things. Kim, I see here there was a muscular issue.
Ooh.
What happened?
Yeah, there was indeed, and I'm not sure how I did it. Monday I got up. I didn't feel like doing the usual workouts. I thought, I'll just get half an hour on the bike. No big deal, right? I've been doing it for a while now. All right, did my half an hour on the bike. No big deal. We'll go Tuesday. I go grocery shopping with my nephew, and we're doing groceries, and I get home that afternoon, and all of a sudden, my left hip feels like it's busted. I mean, it just friggin' hurts. I get up. I kid you not, I went to fold laundry, and I picked up the basket. When I picked up the basket and went to walk somewhere with it, I almost dropped it on the cat because apparently I put my weight on my left foot wrong, and yeah, it was bad. So, and then my lower back started to hurt, and then my other hip started to hurt. I'm like, what the fuck? Am I falling apart? So I don't know if it was the 30 minutes on the exercise bike and I tweaked something and just didn't feel it till Tuesday, or when Anthony almost ran me over with the grocery cart, you know, or what. I mean, he didn't bump me all that hard, but, you know, I weebled and I wobbled, but I didn't fall down. So, yeah, I don't know. So I've been spending most of this week with an ice pack on my hip and my back and taking copious amounts of Aleve. So, and it's a little better now. I mean, you know, I can walk around the house and not feel like I'm going to, you know, be like that old lady on the commercial. I've fallen and I can't get up, you know, right, that sort of thing. But, oh, yeah, it hurt pretty good. I don't, like I said, I don't know what I did or what I pulled, but I must have screwed up something pretty good there for a week because I couldn't hardly do anything but stretches. So, yeah.
Might I suggest just being drunk?
That helps. That might be a good one. Yeah.
That really does help.
So,
yeah, numb the pain however you can. If you don't have the good stuff, go for the second best next thing. Right. Fun fact that I learned, by the way, speaking of drugs, I'm just going to lay some knowledge here because I was listening to the Joe Rogan podcast. They were talking about Coca-Cola.
Oh, yeah.
I had no idea. So Coca-Cola still puts trace amounts of cocaine or cocoa leaves, actually, technically, within their product, but it's just the flavor aspect of it. And they actually then they basically strain out, if you will, the actual drug, the cocaine drug aspect of it. And then they have a manufacturing plant. I think they said it was in New Jersey, but basically it is the largest medicinal cocaine factory manufacturer in the U.S. So Coca-Cola, not only do they produce great tasting sodas, but also medical grade cocaine that then gets used for things like lidocaine and other pain relievers that you likely would want right now, Kim.
Would you believe, Greg, that I quoted that statistic today at the barbecue, birthday barbecue that I was at? I brought that. There's nice. A guy drinking a can of Coke, and I said, by the way, do you know? So
that's
there you
got
go.
Cocaine in it? You know.
Yeah. So anyway, I that just came up because we're talking about pain relievers. So, there we go. Knowledge. Anything else, Kim, you wanted to talk about?
No, it's, other than the fact I almost fell apart, it's been a pretty quiet week. So, like I said, I haven't been doing much of anything, just sitting on my butt and on the couch with an ice pack on my hip. So, not much excitement there. So,
okay. All right. Well, let's turn our attention to Robin. Robin, what's been going on in your neck of the woods?
Okay, well, today is the 12th of July. And I know that's just a normal day, but it's a public holiday. Well, it's because it falls on a Sunday. Tomorrow is the official public holiday, and it is to do with it's a historic thing, Protestant, Catholic, blah, blah, blah. Orange Men, that's what they're called. They march with bands, and usually hundreds of thousands of them, and it's a big, big, big event. They all march for miles to a big meeting point, and they all have sort of religious speeches, and then they march back again. They all get copiously drunk. And tonight, usually it's on the 11th night, but because it's Sunday, it's falling, they have a big massive bonfire. So there's bonfires all around, okay. And so in my village, and again, they all get copiously drunk and a pile of lights at it. So that's the
is
glorious
stuff.
Is this
like stuff. A Druids thing, or is it?
No. It's the commemorations of a battle, mostly in
Burning Man.
1690. We talked about this when we were in the castle way back in your castle. We talked about the Battle of the Boyne and that the river. Yeah, well, it's about that. So that's
okay. All right.
But what it means is I would like to. Yes.
I want to point out real quickly, Robin. They still have not sent me the keys. I've sent them several letters.
I don't think there's many keys to that castle, actually.
I would agree with you. It seems a little open.
It's a bit drafty. By the way, I've just switched all the cams off. So
okay,
and it has made no difference. So yeah. Sorry. Anyway, so that's it. So it's a glorious 12th today or tomorrow, as it may be the 13th, and I am going to try and keep my head low this week and take the majority of it off. I'm not going to try and visit any clients. I know I haven't been really doing that. Yeah, well, I have been. I've been out more and more and more, but I want to try and spend some quality time with the fam. I might have to answer the odd telephone call, but I'm not going to do any quotation work or drawing work and stuff like that. They're just going to have to wait on me. So I'm looking forward to that, and I'm having a little glass of wine tonight, and that's a regular thing, so that's no big thing. Oh dear.
I was just going to say,
Tonight we're on a nice Italian piano. This is from my Naked Wines. If you want to try Naked Wines, get in touch with me. I get money off, you get money off. It's great. I've actually just ordered my second batch of 12 plus one free baker's dozen excellent wines from around the world, from small vineyards. Really, really, really impressed. And I'm what's called as an angel with them. Which is I give, I think it's £20 a month, but it comes off my bill, but it goes towards the vineyards. Whatever way they finance it, I get money off my wine. And yeah, it's very, very nice. You did mention cameras. So yesterday I'd done some painting around the house and put up some shelves, and then I went down to the house in Belfast because for some reason or another, our bank, I was doing a bit of business over the last week or so, and for some reason they have my main address as the property in Belfast, which is kind of odd because I don't want the post going there. And the reason was I took a little bit of extra finance out from the bank to buy Judith's car. I just don't want that stuff going down to there. So Josh was not staying in the house at the moment because university's over or finished at the moment, and God knows if he's going to be back in September, and we do have a little alarm fitted, so but I wanted to keep an eye on the front door to see if there's letters arriving lying at the front door. So I took one of the little cameras down yesterday and set it up so I can look at Belfast Cam. Amazon Alexa, look at Belfast Cam. So it pulls it up now, but so I took one of the cameras for the house, and I ordered a few days ago some new ones. And it's the same brand. It's the Tapo cams, which are part of what do you call them? Sorry, just let me look at the gear. What is wrong with my fucking head? Casa cams, which is anyway, doesn't matter.
So is that a question you really want us to answer, Robin?
So the difference between these ones here and the last ones are these here. I bought two of these as well. They are for indoor, like the last ones, but the other ones were fixed. With this one here, you can rotate the head. You know, it'll zoom around and it'll zoom up and down, and that's pretty neat. So I've been very, very impressed with these. I've set one up. I don't know where I'm going to put this one up. These are mostly for indoors, so the indoor one covers the whole back end of the garden and the big trampoline and that. And then now there's one from the bandstand over the back door and one up the main driveway. So it's rather cool, it's rather neat, and gives you just, you know, there was a delivery today while we're at the barbecue. In fact, the delivery was these two of these, And I got a notification as soon as the van hit the driveway, and the man came to the door, and I hit the talk button on the cameras, and hey, do us a favor, leave it round at the back on the bandstand. And yeah, so they're doing their job, almost sort of as good as an alarm. I don't know. So I'm quite impressed with those. So they're kind of cool. Like those. Good cameras.
Yeah.
And not terribly dear.
You know, it's funny. If you think about those cameras, they basically are an evolution of baby monitors.
Yeah, very much so.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Because I look at all of the early, you know, or the more advanced baby monitors as they've started getting more fancy. And a lot of them were that model that you just showed up, Robin, where they kind of rotated.
Yeah.
You could hear the sounds. They had the noise alarms, that kind of thing. And now they've just gotten smart and said, well, we could put these all throughout the house.
Mm.
This could become your security system.
And very much. And we have one of those more basic ones actually over, it looks very similar to this, over Jasmine's cup right now. But it has its own little internal Wi-Fi. So it's not on any system.
Right.
So it's its own little separate screen.
They basically use that 2.4 gigahertz channel, I think, but they talk just directly to one another, like you have a station, and then they just got smart. They said, well, we can just put this on internet. Anyway, so good stuff.
Mm. So I'm enjoying that. So, they all think I'm crazy, but I am a bit.
Yeah. When the horde comes, you'll see them coming this time.
And I got to admit, I am ready for a bit of a break. It has been busy, and we had, it's been just busy time, and yeah. Do you know what? This whole zombie thing has made you sort of reevaluate, how you work. And yes, you work for money. I mean, it's important. It makes life easier. But it's made me reevaluate how actually important that is. I've realized that I could actually spend my time at home with the kids more and with Judith and being at home. I could occupy my time and maybe just do a bit less. So, we're working on a plan. So, once you're mortgage free, you can make a few more decisions, you know.
That is a good thing to be.
Yeah.
One day I'll be there. One day.
Yeah. I don't know that we are. I don't know about you, Robin. Kim and I think are both still in the mortgage.
Oh, God,
Kim,
yes.
You just redid yours, right?
Yeah. I got like 90,000 to look forward to, so it's gonna be a little while.
Yeah.
I mean, it's not as high as some people, but for around here, that's pretty good. So.
It is terrifying what some of these houses cost and stuff. I think I've got about 6 years left if we don't do it early. So then again, I did buy another house. So it's 6 years.
Yeah,
what do you do?
You're on your way to being a mess slumlord. That's good.
What do you do? I'm thinking about getting some nurses in. If Joshua doesn't go back to the house, it's close to a hospital, so I'm sure I'll get some nurses in.
I think that's smart.
And it's a good idea being putting the cameras in now,
Exactly. I think you should put a couple wall cameras in.
Yeah. I've got those fiber optic ones. Fiber optic tiny ones. Yeah. So,
Hey, so speaking of houses, by the way, yesterday we, about 2 months back, totally broke my elliptical machine. And it was an older machine to where I could it was an older machine and it wasn't like top of the line. Hmm. So there was no support for it anymore. And we had bought it used. So I couldn't tell you how old that thing was, but it worked great. I got the good use out of it, and then I killed it. So instead of trying to repair it, I just said, screw this. Tore it apart, got rid of it piece by piece, eventually out of the house.
China.
It makes it sound like a dead body, doesn't it?
Yeah.
It kind of was. It was like chopping up a dead body. I kid you not.
We were
cutting up pieces, and then we were taking it over to a work dumpster by Cindy's work and dumping it there because we couldn't fit it in our garbage can. But we had to do it in like the middle of the night so nobody could see us do it. It was insanely funny.
Fly tipper.
But the good news is found a new elliptical. And this was basically one of Cindy's clients was moving to San Diego and they didn't want to bring this with them because they really weren't using the elliptical machine. They had other equipment, that kind of thing. So we're like, okay. And I'm like, well, what machine is it? Before I buy it, I need to kind of know. I kind of learned a lesson already, right? And so they give the machine. It was like the Vision HR 1700, something like that, 7100. model number doesn't matter. I look online and they're going for like $2,500, $3,000. And I'm like,
wow.
How much are they asking for it? And so she says, well, they only want 500 for it. And I'm like,
there you go.
Okay.
Yeah.
And I'm like, what shape is it? And Cindy's like, she just says to me, don't worry about it. And I'm like, what do you mean? And so I had no idea who this client is, right? So we go to pick this machine up and they took some pictures of it. It looked fine. So I was like, okay, let's do this. So we rented a small little U-Haul truck to do it because there was no way we were getting it in the back of our SUV. We get to the street where we're supposed to turn off, and Cindy's like taking me because I'm following her in the truck. And we're going through all these different back roads, and we're kind of up in the sticks a little bit in our area. And so I'm kind of like, okay, it's going to be a bit of a ranch.
Like me this morning, wasn't it? Drilling banjos.
And that's what I'm thinking. And we go to turn in, and it's like this hidden like community of just freaking mansions. And wow. And I mean, their house, they sold it for $2.5 million. It is massive. And it's not just a house. It's like three separate houses all in like this compound. And all of the houses in this area, I should have taken pictures. If I had smart, I would have done this. But I wasn't. But they all had wine vines in their other property. So it was like you were driving through a vineyard. And there was an HOA that they give access to the HOA to grow the wine on their property. But the HOA maintains all of the vineyards. And it was just immaculate. It was just like you were in the wine country out of the blue. And so, yeah.
We only think we're living. We really do only think we're living. You know, when we order a pizza and we tip the guy, we think we're friggin' kings. And then you see some of these things.
You know, really? Yeah, this was pretty humbling, I have to admit. And they're moving to San Diego to, and I saw the video of the house they're moving to, and it's just like they're downgrading slightly because they said this house was too big, and basically they're going to a house that's almost the same size. It's insane.
Wow.
But yeah,
I don't want any. I don't want any bigger. I'm all right where I am. Thank you.
No, we're big enough here. I say that. To clean it.
Until I saw that, and I was like, I could do that. Even I could just live in their little guest house. I would be totally happy.
Right.
Yeah.
Park me next to the pool.
Ah, well, you know, good luck to them. Yeah. That's great. I mean, those people there, you know, and they're standing in that wee private community, and I'm sure if a pile of rioters ran through, they'd be out with their weapons, and you know, they'd be protecting their property. Totally, they're entitled to do it. But
as
of course,
as would I. But the most important thing is I got new elliptical.
Yay!
Yes. So I actually used it this morning. Yeah. Excited. This way, on those mornings that I don't make it to the gym, I can do the home gym and feel like I'm actually getting some cardio in.
So do you watch? That's one thing I was watch something like me? I mean, this morning I'm now on to big boulders crashing into the earth movies. That's the theme. I'm working. I'm halfway through Deep Impact. Which is, nice. And we've been through Armageddon over the last week there as well on the elliptical. And, so do you watch listen?
I don't watch anything. I listen to podcasts.
Okay.
So I usually listen to a podcast of some kind on the elliptical. And then I have watched a little more Space Force.
Okay.
There's nothing great about Space Force.
No, it's not. It's just sort of okay. All right. Yeah, it's not for really
funny. For some reason,
it's not really funny. It's just all right.
It's just working. It's just working for me.
And some of it just doesn't make any sense. So,
I do like that it's pretty apolitical. Like it doesn't. It pokes fun at kind of all sides of the issues. So I was happy to see that. I feared it was going to be a pretty one-sided telling of Space Force, so to speak, and it really is. It takes a far more even-handed approach than I thought it would. Then my biggest thing, I've been watching a shitload of Friends. I don't know why, but I've been seeing it on reruns, and
seriously,
I'm just
you're
like,
so unpolitically
Friends.
Correct, Greg Glacey. So
I know.
Unpolitically correct.
I know.
That's good.
And I don't
fun.
Care.
That's good.
I love that show.
Yeah, it's great. I mean, when we catch ourselves watching it you know, every now and again too, because it's just, it's like comfortable pair of shoes. It's lovely. And it was of its time, and it was of our time when growing up, you know. We never thought anything more of 30-year-olds all living singly together, and yeah, that never would happen. A really good friend of mine recommended a book, and I've been working my way through it, and it's really heavy going. It's about the prison service or prisons in America and the intake of people, and and how unfair the system is, and I'm giving myself an education. It's called The New Jim Crow. As you can imagine, if you're from America, you can know that's a pretty heavy title.
Yep.
And all the way through this, I'm going, okay, well, why did you not commit the crime? So I'm taking notes, but so far, I think it's a pretty pointless book, because if you didn't do the crime, you wouldn't have ended up in jail in the first place. So anyway,
I think the one thing to take away is that there, you know, the justice system in the United States is not perfect by any stretch.
Nope.
Its design is pretty perfect, but it gets things wrong. It does get things wrong, and unfortunately, it happens sometimes more often than it
I'm about halfway through the book. The only thing that I would say so far that I've taken from it that I would kind of agree with is that the length of sentences for small offenses are pretty heavy-handed.
So what ended up happening, and I don't know if this is specifically with your book, but one kind of note on that. So we came up with this whole three strikes law thing in California, and I think it got adopted pretty much across the U.S. Three strikes on its face is great, because you're like, hey, you commit three crimes and you got locked up for a long time. The problem with three strikes is that it was, I think they basically said it had to be non-misdemeanors, which meant either it was obviously major crimes, but federal offenses. Like federal offenses qualify. The problem with that is, say you stole a book of stamps from the post office. That is a federal offense. So if you were convicted of stealing stamps from the post office.
You shouldn't have stole the stamps first place.
Fair enough.
I'm sorry.
Robin,
makes excuses for people. Oh, they had no choice but to commit the crime.
Really. No. So I would argue with this, and we'll just.
Sorry.
Here's the political talk. No, but I get it. You shouldn't have committed the crime, of course. But stealing a book of stamps should not land you in prison for 30 years. The problem. That's the problem with three strikes. Is it didn't have nuance for federal crimes. There's no such thing as a misdemeanor within the federal crimes, as far as I know. So the problem is that they just call them federal crimes. Three strikes didn't have any nuance for that.
What about the two other ones then?
I have no idea what you're talking about. I mean, I'm sure there's plenty of crimes that have happened where
one stamp and then there was two other crimes committed.
Yeah, no, I hear you. Maybe again,
I'm a bit hard on it.
That's okay. But three strikes, again, it needed to be more nuanced than it was, and that's why pretty much everybody got away from three strikes, because ultimately it was overly punishing for a lot of people, say, that got multiple, you know, marijuana offenses. Now, marijuana is legal in most states, so...
Yeah.
You know, then suddenly it's like, okay, well, do we let these people back out? We should, in my personal opinion, if we've convicted them for, you know, possession of marijuana back in the day, and yet now it's legal in the state, then that kind of should imply maybe we revisit the conviction and say, you know what, based on current law, we're going to overturn in the interest of justice. And that's the one beautiful thing. Our we just went offline, by the way.
Yeah, I've never seen this before. It said OBS Studio is disconnected and reconnecting. Now it's reconnected, so it is streaming again. It says it's streaming. It says it's still recording. I've never seen that before.
Yeah.
And
we're back live.
And zero drop frames.
Yeah.
Weird.
Yeah. Okay.
Weird.
Yeah, I mean, hopefully
it's better now.
I'll give you one example. The only one example I would give you would be there's a famous case of a guy that there were lots of searches. So they would stop a bus and the police would get on and they would suspect or not they'd be fishing for crimes or people that were looking suspicious. Right. And they would say, do you mind if we look in your bag? This book goes on in great detail about how this person ended up in jail. Even though he shouldn't have because they didn't have a warrant. They just asked him. He had a kilo of fucking cocaine in his bag. Anyway, yeah.
Gonna have a really good party, man.
Yeah, man. Let's move on. Yeah. So look, it's very sorry. I'll just say thank you, Eric. It's a very interesting book. I completely disagree with nearly everything in it. And I'll come back to you when I'm completely finished, and you'll tell me how wrong I actually am and re-educate me as you do on a regular basis. So,
Hey, I'm expanding my brand. Let's talk about re-education. Mm-hmm. About games.
Yeah.
Let's talk video games.
Well.
I like that. That's new.
Shall we? All right, Kim.
I want to play a game.
You are one pathetic loser.
There you go.
Exactly. So, Robin, the reason why I kept talking is the audio kept coming in and out. Oh. So I was thinking we were done.
Okay.
All right. Well, this show is going perfectly smooth. Kim.
Right?
Mm-hmm. I think to smooth things out, we should talk about the games for July.
Okay, we can do that. Your games of gold for July are World Rally Championship 8, which is available now through the end of the month. Dunk Lords, which is available the 16th to August 15th. Saints Row 2, which is available now to the 15th, which is, you know, a few days from now. I just realized that. Whoops. Juju, which is available the 16th through the 31st. And still available from last month is Coffee Talk. So if you didn't pick it up last month, now's your time because it's going to disappear shortly. Your PlayStation Plus games for July is NBA 2K20, Rise of the Tomb Raider, and another freebie for the month is Erica. So there's three this month. So there's that. Your Twitch Prime games for the month is Turok 2, Bad Seed, Dark Devotion, Kunai, Grip Combat Racing, Melvitz World, Dear Esther, PictoQuest is over, so scratch that. And Mad Tracks. And scrolling. And Reuse, which is over the 24th. Stadia Pro. Jeez, I can't read today. The podcast has got gremlins and I can't read. Steamworld Dig, Monster Boy, and The Kingdom. I'm not sure what the other word is, but I know Robin changed it. Crayda and West of Loathing. So those are your free games for the month.
All right. I can't believe Sony is giving away a little girl, but okay.
Right?
Which one is Rise of the Tomb Raider? Is that the very first one?
Yes.
I
believe so.
No, I think that's... Isn't that the second one?
No, okay. I believe Rise of the Tomb Raider... Isn't that... Maybe it is this. Maybe it is the
Shadow of the Tomb Raider was the last one, right?
Right.
Okay.
If only... Okay. All right. Well, look... more importantly, somebody in the chat is named Feet. I saw that.
Yes.
So,
yes.
Thank you, Feet or Foot. Can I Foot for short, Feet for long?
Right.
Anyway.
Strange OBS problem.
Yes.
It's solid now.
It's solid now. I maybe OBS just needed a little bit of a kick in the butt.
Weird.
I would.
Yeah. Let's talk about the games we've been playing.
Mm-hmm.
So, Kim?
Yes?
Looks like you've gone back to an oldie but a goodie and also continued on with a newie but a goodie.
Yeah. Is that even a thing? I guess. It is for today. I mean, with everything else going on, we'll take it. I played a little Minecraft Dungeon, still plugging away with that. I think I'm like a level 30 now, so... that's been fun. We started the new jungle DLC yesterday because Tony was spent the night.
Ooh,
and
okay, cool.
Yeah. So of course we had to fire up the old Minecraft dungeons and we went through the jungle DLC. We're not done with it yet, but there's ocelots and you know, it's kind of, you know, it's much the same, just different critters, you know, but it's fun. So still plugging away on that one. And I played some more Red Dead 2 today because Tony was playing it and needed help. And, well, he couldn't figure out why he kept dying in a spot. And for a little reference, it was the, I don't know, I guess it was a quest when you're in, well, what's the town? Damn it. I can't think of it. I had it. Now it's gone. But anyway, that's the main town you start out in when you get to the prairie and all that. And anyway, he had to save John and Strauss from being killed. And he couldn't figure out that he had to shoot the guys that were holding John and Strauss and not just everybody. So once he figured that out, then he could continue where he was at, which then he decided to take dynamite and blow up a poker game. So I'm a little worried about my nephew. I'm afraid I'm raising a, you know, a murderer, but I might be wrong, hopefully. Because he did. He's like, you want to see how I play poker? And I'm like, okay, yeah, sure, why? And I can't hear you guys.
You can't hear us at all?
Oh, wait, no, there you go. Okay.
Okay. I'm all...
But, yeah.
Yeah.
So he lit a stick of dynamite and threw it at the two guys playing poker at the train station. And then he couldn't figure out why he was wanted. Well, you know.
Yeah. Well, hey, make believe. Right?
Right, exactly. Well, and that's the thing. We, you know, my brothers grew up and they were the same way. And I mean, they're normal. So, you know, what the hell? I'd rather he be doing that on a video game than, you know, real life.
So funny that you mentioned this, by the way, because they recently have started redoing a lot of the Bugs Bunny cartoons back in the day, the Looney Tunes.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
And they have taken Elmer Fudd's gun away from him.
Ridiculous. Yep.
They didn't want to portray him shooting at the animals. So instead, he comes at them with dynamite and with basically axes and scythes, that kind of thing. So,
and that's somehow
clearly,
better, right?
Yeah, clearly that is a better message to signal than the guns.
Hey, speaking of cowboys.
Uh-huh.
Yes. One of my now really enjoying singer type people, okay? This
right?
Urban fella that I used to give you a lot of stick about. This
Keith Urban, Keith Urban.
He was in fucking Belfast.
Yeah.
My friend, we were talking about it yesterday. They were on Friday night, their friends that were here and they're here for we had them over for dinner on Friday evening. And I on YouTube in the background on the telly, I put on some Keith Urban. I went, oh yeah, wow, we went to see him years and years and years ago. He was the support act for Celine Dion. We didn't know who he was. And he wasn't popular back then. I mean, they were talking a long time ago now. From that point, we just absolutely loved him. And now he's become really famous. So,
right
there you go.
By the way,
he was here. I don't know how.
Yeah, I was just going to say, you know, he's married to Nicole Kidman.
Really?
Yes.
Yep.
Oh, I like him even more now. He likes a bit of ginger. Wow.
Yeah.
Stole her away from Tom
Cruise. In concert. He's pretty good. He does put on a pretty good concert. So
he does.
Tom Cruise?
He makes the effort.
No.
It's funny. I had Days of Thunder on the elliptical last week, and the first first 5 minutes would make every liberal cry because there's Confederate flags everywhere in the credits.
Right.
Things have changed. Yeah, it's very.
And
hard.
Now, according to Twitter, he's going to run for president. So.
Oh my God! Yeah, you saw that commercial.
I have no idea
what that was.
Who, Tom Cruise?
Yeah, yep. Tom Cruise.
No, that wasn't. Like, no, it's not him. That's old. That was from 2016. But it is quite good. It's him running. Yeah, it's a looky like.
Yep.
Oh, yeah, but that was quite good. I like some of the original stuff around election year is really funny. Some of the stuff that's coming out, so it's very good.
Yeah.
So yes, he was in Belfast. He was here. Wow.
Very cool.
Yeah. If you ever get a chance to see him in concert, I highly recommend.
Yeah,
we'll do that the next time I'm out there.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right. Well, Robin, let's shift gears over to you. Let's talk about Torchlight 2.
Okay. I want to talk about this a bit now because this is just a little gem. Quite a big gem, actually. I finished the main Torchlight 2 story this week.
Right.
It's odd to the point where there's no credits as such. You finish the main character, you get a bit of a cutscene sort of thing, and then you're back into the world to go and tidy stuff up and do all the other extra bits and pieces and level up that you can do in Diablo as well. But there's so many different little scenes. And towards the end, you end up in a jungle scene, which is completely different, with like sort of that red desert is a lot of the thing. So the towards the last third mm-hmm. of the game, it changes up completely. And I came across, I don't know if you spotted it, Kim, on my Xbox video feed. I took a quick thing. I came across a little sort of hidden secret level, and it was in a mine. And I picked up, I got a Minecraft sword, and I had to go.
Oh, nice. Away.
And there were creepers. So the creepers, creepers were coming along, which I just thought, I mean, this was years ago. So I'm sure it was official. Yeah. It had to be official. But it was like a right. not a main level. It was like a hidden dungeon sort of thing, and I just thought that was so mm-hmm. cool. So there was just a few creepers came at you, and your prize was the Minecraft sort of woodeny sword thing. So I thought it was just kind of cool. Very 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 nice. Good name. Very very good. Thoroughly enjoyed it, and I finished. I went okay. So what do I do now? So there just today again, I've fired up Cube 2. Everything's 2 this week with me, which right. is a smaller puzzle game. I played the first one. It looks very like the style of Portal. It's sort of first mm-hmm. person. You have jump pads and different physics puzzles and that sort of thing. And there's a bit of a story going on, a bit weird and wonderful. But yeah, I don't expect it to be too long. I expect it to be frustrating, but I like that sort of puzzly type game. I really must play something new soon. I must get back yet to the Minecraft dungeons. So, or some of these other things. Do you know what? You're talking about Xbox Live with Gold games. And mm-hmm. I have to admit, I haven't even been going in and claiming some of them now because there's just so much choice with Game Pass.
Yeah.
Even, you know, the Gold thing seems to be almost irrelevant now to me. Because,
you know, that would be interesting to see. You know, I would love to see
what the
Microsoft
pickup is.
Just say, you know what? Gold is dead. It's all Game Pass and Game Pass Ultimate. That will give you your online access and just go that route. Just get rid of this two system thing.
Yeah, and do you think people would be, you know, how much is Gold? Is it, it's about £50 a year or something like that? So right. they turned around.
Well, they could transfer Gold to Game Pass.
Yeah, the turn
that could be a pretty easy one to one.
Do you know what we're gonna? Well, they could or they say like, do you know what we're gonna stop Gold? We're still gonna give you some freebie games, but you know, it's £60 a year now instead of £50. And we're just going to drop that two system thing. And I think people would be okay with that. Because at the beginning, Game Pass was, well, actually, it's going to be crap. It's not going to be that good. But it's turned out to be really good and very respected, I think, within the community as a very, very good value proposition for people. So, mm-hmm. yeah.
Yeah. Nerd Allegiance would like to point out, I believe, there's not such a thing as too many games. That's preposterous.
Tell that to the people that make them. just to finish off, Torchlight 2, I've said it before, I recommend it if you like a good dungeon crawler. Definitely, it's a little gem. So go play mm-hmm. some Torchlight 2. Especially you played it, Kim. I would advise mm-hmm. you go back and play more.
I need to.
Yeah.
By the way, Torchlight 2 was free, I believe. It still might be, but on Epic Game Store this past week. I think it kicked off Friday. Last Friday. Anyway. Let's see. Real quickly, divergent topic. But and this has to do with games. So I played a little bit more of Metro Exodus. More, so I didn't list it. But I want to talk about a very important aspect of Metro Exodus that I really like, and I wish other game developers would do it, including some of our really big AAA game developers that seem to not understand this. But when you have a loot shooter where you are going out, you come across enemies, they have weapons, give us the option of picking up the weapon and using it, or destructing the weapon to where we get the crafting bits from it, ammo, whatever you want. But you know, when we have a game that's got gameplay mechanics of resources and built around that, that should be the options. It should never be you can't pick up the enemy weapon and all you can do is get a couple pieces of ammo from it.
We're back to knife blocks again, aren't we?
Pretty much. But that is bad gameplay mechanics, damn it. And I'm just throwing that out there because Metro Exodus, just, I was like, you know what? This is the way crafting for loot shooters should happen. You can get the weapon, you can use it, you can destroy it to make parts, do what you want to do with it, but don't limit me and shoehorn me into your gameplay mechanic because you just wanted to make one gun model.
Are you sure? You know, did you play it or did you see someone doing this on YouTube?
I am positive that you cannot do that in certain games, and it's not limited to just the game in particular. There are many other games that do this stupid mechanic, and it always frustrates me. You see the guy shooting you with a badass gun, and you can't pick up his gun.
Can't get it.
Yeah, and instead you get like a couple bullets or some game mechanic stuff. That drives me bonkers. So,
I agree with you there. That it's ridiculous.
Also, yeah, and if you're going to show me a game that says, hey, you need to pick up knives, don't show me a knife block loaded with knives and then tell me I can't pull the knives out of the knife block. Okay.
You just hate Sony.
No, I don't hate Sony. Maneater. Let's talk about Maneater. I finished it. 100% game done. Literally 100% of the game. What a fantastic treat. Loved this game. Because of how I went through the game, I was pretty meticulous for every area. And there's about six different areas within the game that they can walk you up a little bit in terms of the level of enemies, that kind of thing. But I always was going back and making sure I kind of finished up and cleared out all of the different sections first, which kind of it was kind of a grindy thing that I did. So it power leveled my shark up pretty quick. Comparatively speaking to the new areas that I went to. So that was always a good thing for me. So I was the apex predator. You know, there wasn't something badder, more badass than me out in the water. And then there's my son. If you can hear him in the background, he's right like outside my door right now making his best attempt to sound like Godzilla.
He's an apex predator.
Yes, he is an apex predator. But yeah, so I just this game I would say $40 is where this game should be at price wise. That's the steal. If you can get it cheaper than that, even better. It's a good 20 to 30 hours, depending upon how meticulous you get with it. And you know, yes, it's not the prettiest girl at the ball, right? It looks good, but it doesn't look great at times. It has some jank to it here and there, but man, what a wonderful little treat. And I will say the final boss, that was the one time where I had some genuine frustration with the game because they introduced a couple new mechanics that you hadn't come across at all. And it was like, okay, how the hell do I deal with this? So I died numerous times on that final boss until I finally figured out how to kind of circumvent, some of the things they were throwing at me, for lack of a better way to put it. And it was just a real great, and it does give you Game Plus. So once you finish the game, it allows you to go back and you can actually clean up if you miss stuff and go through and do the hunty bits. And so Mark will love this because he can get to his completion in there because there's lots of little hidden things to find.
So in your Victory Achieve picture, you were holding up a – what was it you were holding up?
It was Baby Shark.
It was a baby. And when you squeeze that little Baby Shark, does it play a tune?
Yes, it does.
This is amazing how we hate these things, but we all have them.
But you know what? It was perfect for that shot.
Yes, it was. Yes, I'll give you that. Fair play. Okay.
Yeah. So you do get to, I will say, you get to what they call Mega Shark size. You never get to Megalodon Shark size.
That's disappointing.
You're basically Jaws. You get to be Jaws at the end of it, and there are a few different the RPG element of it is basically you're upgrading your shark with different types of biology upgrades. So there's kind of the rock skin, if you will. There is what they call shadow, which I haven't quite figured out how that's a biological upgrade, but there's a shadow thing to it. And then there is electric. And so, yes, I love the video you just put on, Robin. Awesome. Yes. Anyway, so those kind of upgrades, even though they level cap you at 30, even when you hit the level cap of 30, you will not have all of the upgrades yet. So you still have to grind for those, and they are important to get like a full set of upgrades for your sharks. So this way, when you do encounter some of the final big boss areas, you need to be able to take those monsters on, if you will, with a shark that's equipped out.
Okay.
Yeah. Anyway, Maneater. It's good.
Excellent. Let's get it. Everybody buy Maneater. It's
yes.
It does what it says on the tin.
Yes. It does. All right, let's talk news.
Okay, some news.
Here is the fucking news.
God damn it, news.
All right, so the big thing that actually happened just before we got on the podcast was the big Ubisoft event. We will talk about that in just a minute. But first, there's some other stuff happening I thought worthy of talking about. So one, a new rumor has surfaced, and this is coming from an Italian business analyst, Roberto Serrano, who apparently has actually been pretty good about releasing leaks around Sony. He actually had the release, the information on the Sony event that just happened last month. So he had leaked that out prior to. He is actually leaking out right now that tomorrow, July 13th, there will be a price announcement for Sony.
Oh.
So the PS5. So that is the rumor mill. But given his track record, I thought, well, we could put this up. We'll see if it comes true. Flight Simulator 2020 going into closed beta starting July 30th.
2020.
Yeah. This will be on PC only for now. And they say you need to have a reasonably powerful PC. But the big thing, 150 gigs on PC, which usually PC is a little bit smaller than consoles in terms of the file sizes. So that's a big game. 150 gigs of space will be needed for Flight Simulator 2020.
Holy crap. I'm quite stoked. I want to play this. I think that's going to be pretty cool.
I'm not usually a big... I mean, I do like flight simulators, but I like them to be a bit arcadey. But this, I'm fully jazzed for. I think this is going to be something I can just...
Charlie has his yoke and his flight sticks and all his bits and pieces ready to go for this. So he regularly flies all around the UK. Proper full-blown sim mode, you know? So fair play to him.
Yep. And then speaking of other things, Sony... this week announced they are making a $250 million investment in Epic Games.
Oh, wow.
So this comes on the heels of them having that partnership and working on that demo. And look, I think it's a smart investment from Sony. They get Epic Games not in their pocket, but certainly Epic is always now going to have PlayStation and Sony in mind when they're developing out tools. It's going to be hard to not do something that's going to be complementary to the PlayStation ecosystem.
Huh.
So smart move on Sony's part, if you ask me. And I mean, look, on the heels of that demo, lots of positive, vibes coming off of that. So, it made sense. You know, they made that move and good on them. Okay.
All right.
Let's talk about Ubisoft. How do you want to do this, Robin? How do you want
to
do this?
I kind of think we need to rattle through the rest of the podcast and just finish it off. And then if people want to listen on, they can. So, yeah, we'll do it that way. Okay. We'll sort of loop back around and then that'll help the audio stuff so we can cut it off at that point. Or not. Because we're going to be sitting watching a thing, you know?
Yeah. So here's what we're going to do. So we're going to finish up the community stuff for the podcast. If you're listening right now and you're watching, we are going to play the Ubisoft event again. We'll have that in the feed.
Yep.
But we're going to do that towards the end, so this way we can get rid of all of the other stuff out of the way, and we'll just play that through.
Hmm.
So this way, if you haven't seen the Ubisoft event, you'll be able to watch it live. If you're on audio, it's not going to be terribly exciting, I think. Good to get that out of the way now. So, release calendar. Kim, next week, we have a slew of games to talk about.
We do, indeed. Yeah. Actually, we have one today, actually, at least according to, you know, Game Informer, so, which struck me as strange, but all right. Hyperscape, which is out now for the PlayStation, Xbox One, and PC. Like I said, out today. Who would have thunk?
I don't think that's actually out. I think that might have been delayed, and this is a bit foreshadowing to something that's going to be happening at the end of this podcast.
I kind of thought that seemed a little strange, but I thought, well, that's what it says, so we'll go with it. So, you know, take that with a grain of salt. Yes. Death Stranding for the PC, which will be out on July 14th. Neon Abyss for the PlayStation 4, Xbox One, Switch, and PC, also on the 14th. Rocket Arena.
The game that nobody asked for.
Right? Xbox One and PC on the 14th as well. Ooblets for the Xbox One and PC on the 15th. Beyond a Steel Sky, which I'm going to guess is some sort of flighty thing. Maybe I'm wrong. Mac and Linux. is out on the 16th. Hunting Simulator 2 for the PC is out on the 16th. Radical Rabbit Stew. Alright. PlayStation 4, Xbox One, Switch, and PC on the 16th. And this one I didn't see happening, but here it is. Super Hot Mind Control Delete for the PlayStation 4, Xbox One, PC, Mac, and Linux on the 16th. A big one for this week. Ghost of Tsushima for the PlayStation 4 out on the 17th. And another one, which is Paper Mario, the Origami King, out for the Switch on the 17th as well. So those are your new releases.
Cool. Okay, when there's still, the stuff that the press seems to love, which is Ooblets. I think it already came out. Ooblets, a lot of talk about that. Beyond a Steel Sky, Kim, is a really old game. Really sort of... can imagine The Matrix, sort of, but with more detectives and very atmospheric and... You know, it was a very, very cool game in the early 90s. But yeah, for me, Super Hot, brilliant, Paper Mario, it would be Ghost of Tsushima looks fab. I hope it does everything it's supposed to do in the tin. But Paper Mario will just be fab. You just know it will be, though there's no question mark about it. It'll be another solid Nintendo game. But Ghost of Tsushima, as I said to you before the show started, they are now advertising on local TV here, terrestrial TV, Alberta, and it looks fab. But I don't know how much of it is gameplay. You know, I want to know what the gameplay looks like. You know.
I mean, the gameplay I've seen, it reminded me very much of kind of Assassin's Creed. And it's a lot of parrying, sword play. There's some stealth elements to it as well.
Forgive me, because I should know this. Is it third person? Are you looking down at a guy?
Because it is third person.
The whole advert looks complete. Yeah, it is. See, the advert showed nothing of this whatsoever. You know, it showed as if you were, you know, with really big character on screen, almost. Yeah, anyway. I'm sure it'll be fabulous. I'm sure it will be absolutely awesome, and it'll win prizes.
Yeah, I mean, hey, Sony has come out with a couple of big guns in the summer months. I'm actually all for that because, let's face it, we went through, May and June, and I think it was pretty much like, what are we going to play? There was nothing. Everything had been pushed. So having these big games coming out right now, we're all home for the most part. So why not? You know, good for the gamers.
Yeah, very good. Mm-hmm. Okay, cool. Excellent stuff. Well, you know, good stuff to be. We always say this, good time to be a gamer. Victory achieved. Victory achieved is when you finish games and we give you money. I mean, last week we announced that Denok TQ won money for winning Minecraft Dungeons. I don't think that's been sorted yet. I don't know if Mark sorted that, but if it isn't, we'll get it sorted. So you just finish a game. You take a photograph of yourself with the credits in the background. You tweet that off to @OC_podcast or Parler @OC_podcast with the hashtag victory achieved, and you'll be automatically entered into a draw for $20 or £15 gift card for PSN, XBL or Steam. Not many completions this week, but the ones that were there, Martin C, he took advantage of that free game and finished Coffee Talk.
Can we just real quickly?
Yes.
Anytime I hear Coffee Talk, in my head, it's kind of like a New Jersey woman's. It's time for Coffee Talk.
Coffee.
Coffee Talk.
The Saturday Night Live skit. That's what I think every time.
Let's have a coffee. Is that a thing? Let's have a coffee talk. Is that a thing? Is it really?
Yeah.
Let's go for a cup of coffee sort of thing. No, but it's coffee. Let's go for a coffee. Do people say, let's go and have a coffee talk?
Not really that. The people say, let's go have a coffee.
Okay.
Coffee. Which is implied we're going to have a talk while we have a coffee.
Coffee.
But then there's the New Jersey side of it, the coffee talk. You know, it's just a thing.
So do they say it in New Jersey, do they? See, that's the thing. Do they say that in New Jersey?
I don't know. We would have to ask Gary
DeFelice.
I'm not
from Jersey, so...
We'd love to.
Yeah, we'd love to, but he's never on the podcast. So
very, very busy. Very busy. Yeah. His excuses every week are absolutely fantastic. I finished Torchlight 2, and Greg, you finished Man Eater, so very, very good. Yeah. So, actually, you know, now I have to play...
Sing to myself.
I have to play some fella saying he once jumped off a bridge in Paris. It was insane.
You all have... Victory's achieved! Victory's achieved! You have won it! Victory's achieved!
Do you like that, Kim?
I did. That was good.
That was good.
You know what?
Yeah.
Our good friend Phil Olson would be very, very happy right now to know that I just looked over at my Echo device and it said how to make a bean burger. I've never been more repulsed in my life, but it was there, staring right at me. Bean burger.
Okay.
All right. All right. Wrapping it up. Look, we are going to sit tight. We're going to play the Ubisoft presser right now. In the meantime, though, if you like us, follow us. We're on Twitch. We're on YouTube. We have an audio version of the podcast we will put out for you. We're also on Facebook. So just find us. Hang out with us. Next week, we promise we will turn off all of the porn that's running in the background so we don't have buffering issues. Yep. And in the meantime, Kim, any shout-outs you would like to throw out there?
Let's see. To you guys, the weather, you know, the Shatters, Hardly Dan, Nerd Allegiance, Lord of the Manor was in there. Feet, you know, Feet. don't y'all know Feet? Commander Root, let's see, the Aiton, another TTV viewer. So, Shat was still shedding today, so that was good.
Yes. By the way, it is official. Gary has been reduced to guest status. I think that is fair.
Yeah.
Gary is now guest.
I agree with that.
You've been demoted here. Take that.
Yep. Oh, boy. So that's it. Yeah.
If you're interested in partaking in the OC podcast, send your audition tapes to OC_Murphy's Law.
Yeah, it's not hard to do better.
Mm-hmm. Gary is a low bar.
Robin.
Yeah.
Anything you would like to talk about?
Okay. Just Gary. Gary, keep on getting well. It's good to hear that you're improving.
For sure.
I was down in Belfast there one day this week, and I bumped into Shania Twain and had a great chat with her as well. So, apart from that, everybody stay well and stay with us if you want to watch the Ubisoft conference.
Absolutely. And shout out to the two of you for making the show.
Sure.
You know. Okay. I'm again a little bit of a rant time because we glossed over this pre-show. We have yet to talk about this, but okay, Mark Wright, we love you, Mark.
Oh dear,
Mark has been a absolute top bloke when it comes to producing for the podcast. He puts up all kinds of stuff for us. He fixes stuff in the back end. However, tonight, he missed the podcast. Well, first there was a claim of, I've got some work stuff. It's on my mind, blah, blah, blah. But then the reality, the truth was he had canine training in his GTA RP game, which basically is taking over his life. I feel like we may have to have an intervention because I'm getting a little concerned. So Mark blew off the podcast so he could train his virtual dog in his virtual life, which... maybe at this point he's thinking this is a better life than the current new life or actual life. I don't know. But Mark, we're going to have an intervention next week. We're going to bring you into the show. We're going to sit you down in a circle with all of your friends and family. And we're just going to beat this out of you. All right. So Gary DeFelice, guest status. Gary Lever, get well status. Mark, absolutely his fault status. Stop Robin marking. Kim, gold status. And to our listeners, thank you. And we're going to kick off the Ubisoft conference now. So sit tight if you want to watch that on the feed. Give impressions. We'll go from there. Watch Dogs Legion was the first announced game. Okay. So
mm-hmm. Let me get it up here.
Yeah, I'm watching it now.
Yeah.
One second.
There we go. I mean, it looks, I mean, it's going to be a pretty amazing open world game.
It's in London?
I think that's the big
takeaway. It seems
yeah, it's set in London.
London town. I see that. Okay.
My one beef is I don't think the character models in this game, once you get into the actual gameplay, which you'll see a little later in that feed, they're not terribly great. They're okay. So
yeah, Watch Dogs was never the prettiest game ever, was it really?
Yeah.
Again, well, we're not really seeing gameplay here again.
You will. They do show gameplay a little further into the feed. They have a lot of the dead eyes.
Okay.
You know, the uncanny valley eyes, and it's kind of like.
Oh, there we okay. go. I'm just pulling yeah. into it now. Yeah. Yeah.
So, it's impressive in terms of scope, and also it should be noted they did make the announcement that they're going to support smart delivery for Xbox.
Okay.
So I would also just, you know, kind of talking about this. And again, if we have to cut this into the main show, depending upon how things turn out, Robin, that's do you do what you need to do. But this, you know, I've seen developers like this. They're supporting smart delivery. They're basically saying, look, if you buy the current gen, we're going to let you upgrade into next gen. You're not going to get double dipped. Everybody should ban NBA 2K and not buy that game because they are double dipping you unless you pay the siphon fee of $100, then you get to get your upgrade. So they have two versions of the game, a $60 current gen and a $70 next gen version. And you cannot get the upgrade. But if you pay the $100, then they'll let you buy, then they give you the upgrade version. Does that make sense?
Yeah,
so
let's say you buy it on PlayStation 4. It just feels so greedy. I get it. You know, the upgrade version,
greedy.
There is more work involved in it and blah, blah, blah. But this is such a small... It's about a year and a half of an overlap window that, you know, and it just seems greedy for that period of time. It really does, so...
Yeah. And
unreasonable.
You know, again...
Unreasonable.
It is pretty unreasonable. I also feel a bit bad for anybody buying actually a new PlayStation 4 in any of these great sales right now if they're hoping to play Spider-Man Morales.
Yeah, what was that? I seen your tweet or retweet earlier on. Explain that to me, please.
Because Spider-Man Morales is only available on PlayStation 5. That game does not exist on PlayStation 4. So that's the line in the sand that Sony has gone with versus what Microsoft went with. Microsoft said, look, we're going to make sure all of our games, they will have a current-gen version and a next-gen version for the foreseeable future.
For a while, yeah.
Sony
yeah.
drew a hard line and said anything made after July on PlayStation 4 has to run on PlayStation 5.
Wow.
But also, if it's made for PlayStation 5, it does not have to run on PlayStation 4. So and they themselves, as a first party... Yeah, they're making the hard cut. And I don't know. It seems like, again, not knowing what Spider-Man Morales truly is like, but we have that base game. Why they couldn't have made a PS4 version? Yes, maybe it has long loading times. Maybe it doesn't have the ray tracing elements to it, but why couldn't they have made that for the PlayStation 4 fans?
You know, it won't matter to us real fans
because
you'll go out and buy it. But to the masses and the people that really loved Spider-Man, you know, and that aren't maybe mega in the news about video games, you know, they'll get a bit pissed off with that.
I love my wife.
I love your wife too. But that's very minimal.
She just brought
I know, but
a
that's
hard lemonade.
I'm sorry, hold on. That's minimal effort. She only gets like a C for that. Usually she makes cocktails. You know, for goodness sake, she handed you a can. What, she wearing a string vest or something tonight, walking around the house? All right, now, Harry, have a can.
Well,
Yeah. Yeah, okay, that'd be good too. You know what? The London scenes look fabulous. You know that they've seen they've got the there's the Tower of London there. It looks absolutely fabulous in this clip. So
yeah, I do think this game is gonna be, especially for all of our UK friends, you guys are gonna love this because it's set in London. It's going to scratch an itch for you guys. That's going to feel, you know, hey, this is all, I know that place. I know this place. I've been in the tube. I was right there. You
know? Here, is it just me or are a lot of these games starting to all look like each other now? Like this could be the Division.
Yeah,
they're all starting to feel. I know that's just because it all starting to look quite real, but it just sort of feels like Breakpoint. Kind of, you know, the drones and I don't know.
Well,
a bad thing, but it's just it's hard to differentiate. Now,
I will say this also: the one interesting thing about this game, and this may not be a good thing, it may be a good thing, also depending upon your political situation and how you see things. But this game is talking a lot about resistance and resisting the powers. Now, granted, the power in this situation, they make it, you know, it's not the police per se. It's a corporation that's basically gets put in charge of policing. So they kind of get around the anti-government, storyline by doing that. This game, put this game in today's setting, And people would be going bonkers with this, in terms of it feels very relevant to a lot of what's been going on in the world right now, protesting and fighting back against the police and, standing up, I wonder if there's going to be a little bit of a power, maybe backlash, pushback. I don't know.
Yeah, I'm pushing back. I'm moving on. Okay. What was next?
So, next on the list, they had a bunch of like kind of mobile games. They had a game called Brawlhalla that they announced.
Mm-hmm.
None of this interested me, so I really didn't pay attention to any of this stuff. So
Brawlhalla, there's the trailer playing. It is, by the sounds of it, a little fighting game. Brawl up to 40 players. It is, what's that fantastic game that they all, Smash Brothers on the mm-hmm. Nintendo? It kind of looks a bit like that.
Yeah, definitely has kind of that vibe. Mm. Several mobile games. I also would say, another thing that I noticed within the Ubisoft event, one very slick event. It's pretty polished in terms of the presentation. And I feel like Sony and Ubisoft both have hit the right notes. EA apparently just cannot get this right. But Sony and Ubisoft both had really good, well-paced events. This was a good-paced event. Nice presentation. You also get the feeling, based on all of the crap going on right now with Ubisoft internally, in terms of their executives mm-hmm. being, they have a lot of
Frenchness going on.
Not Frenchness. They have a lot of just bad employer-ness going on. allegations of sexual misconduct, of rape. I mean, it's crazy what's going on in Ubisoft, and people are getting fired left and right. This event felt very, very friendly in that regard. But anyway, good event from Ubisoft in terms of presentation. I just want to give them some props.
Okay.
This is probably the best Ubisoft event I've seen in years. Much better than their live show events. There's no freaking dancing pandas or bands coming out on stage. None of that. They did then get into Hyperscape. So this was the game, Kim, we talked about in the Game mm-hmm. Informer stuff. They get into Hyperscape. It's a battle royale game kind of set in the future in a city. It looks pretty interesting. People in the PC version, because I think that came out in beta, didn't have overly glowing things to say about the game. And so I don't know if this is going to be a thing or not. But it's getting into that battle royale space, which seems like maybe they're a little bit late to the party for this game. But it's got all kinds of wackiness. The other neat thing about it, supposedly, is it has Twitch integration. to where viewers, as they're watching one of the Battle Royale events happening, they basically can vote to change things up. So maybe they vote to say low gravity.
To be dicks.
And so, yeah, to be dicks. So as everybody's playing and you've got, you know, your 100 dwindling down, then, you know, you basically say, okay, we're voting, and everybody said no gravity. And so no gravity wins. Now suddenly the world has no gravity. And you'll find your, you know, you have to deal with that as you're in the game playing. You have to deal with their votes and how they kind of transition.
Yeah, it says there is a open beta now available for it to play. So, okay. But you said did you not say something about games released that it was in there? Hyperscape.
Well, and that maybe what it was supposedly originally going to release then, and maybe they pushed back the release date. That's all I can think of, because Game Informer doesn't always update their release dates the best. Yeah. And that's where we get our game releases from.
Yeah.
So next on the list was Assassin's Creed Valhalla.
Mm. And this has got some good props.
All the games, this looked fantastic. It was gameplay. They actually show this off. I think it's the best looking game out of all the games they showed. I do feel like, and this is going to hold true for another game that we're going to see in a moment after this, there is a little bit of tiredness, and for me, happening with Ubisoft. I feel like, you know, the Tom Clancy Division games and the Watch Dogs games, to me, they still feel very similar. And the Assassin's Creed games are all kind of blending together, even though this looks fantastic, and I'm sure I'm going to be buying this with Mark, no doubt, and I will probably love it. But
the story has to be strong then.
Yeah,
so, cause, I
hope it is strong.
Yeah, so it has to be, because the game, you know, it is. Yes, now you're a Viking, rape and pillage. Yeah, great stuff. Much fun. But the gameplay style is going to be similar. There'll be new nuances to it as well. But because it's like a reskin, and you upgrade the graphics. But the story is the thing that has to make the game then. So
yeah. Well, and I think they're taking a pull from Odyssey, in that you're going to get a lot of intertwining of historical Viking, you know, storylines, and then fictional stuff. Mythical Viking, you know, storylines, I think, are going to get intermixed into this. At least that's my hope, because I think that actually made Odyssey a little bit more interesting. And I think that can help this game stay a little bit more interesting for me. Otherwise, the historical repeat and rinse stuff,
Yeah. Well, I mean, they have rewritten the history about the Vikings a wee bit here, probably as well. You know, it's a bit like, you know, like remaking old movies. You know, like Ghostbusters was a bit of a flop. I mean, can you imagine them doing it with like 9 to 5? You know, what was that 9 to 5? Like, was it three women?
Dolly
that were,
Parton.
Yeah. The three women that were being abused by a bad boss. Now, if they were to remake that, the genders all changed. Three guys that were being mistreated by their female boss. They kidnap her and tie her up in a ball and chain and hang her from a roof for 3 days. Yeah, that would be a fun movie. That would go down well these days.
But didn't they kind of do that? What was the movie?
That's what it
wasn't exactly like this. But no, there was a movie with three guys. And one of the guys played Charlie from It's Always Sunny in Philadelphia. And his boss is Jennifer Aniston. And
that was Bad Bosses or something like that?
I think it was Bad Bosses, yeah. So it's three guys that are trying to take out their bosses. You know, kind of a little bit of a ripoff of the 9 to 5 thing.
I digress. Yeah, okay. Yeah. It looks gorgeous. This looks beautiful. You still loot them and you kill them. You know, so the similarities. I'm a few games behind where I need to be, but... yeah, okay. What I always loved about Assassin's Creed was I loved the verticality from it. I always loved climbing up stuff. You know, a lot of these are they all on the ground mostly? You know,
You don't see a lot of verticality in the gameplay that they show. You know, you see a lot of different terrain, so you're definitely going to be adventuring around. For me, for whatever reason, this reminded me a lot of The Witcher. Whenever I see this game, I get Witcher vibes from it, which I'm fine with.
Yep. Totally.
Yeah. So I'm excited for Assassin's Creed Valhalla.
Yeah, this looks good. It looks beautiful.
I'm good with this game, but I kind of hope after this they take a bit of a break and give it some time to give us a nice just window to say, okay, we're excited to get another Assassin's Creed game now. Okay. And then they finish things off with Far Cry 6 and a truck.
Wow.
Yeah. I kind of fell off the Far Cry games myself.
Yeah, I've enjoyed a couple. I've enjoyed a few of them.
I'm curious about the story.
Interesting. So I'm just looking at the credits or the titles coming up, and it has real folks' names in the titles. Shakira.
Yeah.
And, you know, Jason Kenella. Well, and
The main baddie is the guy that played the manager of the Pollo Chicken in Breaking Bad.
Yeah. Gustav.
Gus Fring.
Yep, Gus. Yep. There you go. So it's got potential to be a great story, but all the Far Cry games have had potentials to be great stories, and I never really enjoyed any of them.
And Phil loved them as well. I loved them, and you know they're not a big serious game.
No, and I think that's the problem why I fell off them is too often they try to have this serious storyline, but then they have this kind of other ridiculous
cartoony
elements to it.
Sort of thing. Yeah.
Yeah.
Like Breakpoint and those, you know, those games where they have a more military thing. This is sort of halfway between that and sort of cartoony characters and really ridiculous stuff. Far Cry 3, what was it, the guy who was madness is the crazy thing or the other, and was at the end of it you got high and had to shag someone on some plinth somewhere in the middle of this old wreck temple. I mean, that's kind of cool. Okay, groovy.
It was different
to me every day.
But in that game, let's not forget, you played the role of basically Joe Frat Boy in your boat.
Oh yeah,
and then everything goes sideways, and then you basically transform from Joe Frat Boy to Joe Rambo. So I always find those leaps in games to be, you know, give me actual some background as to why it should be believed that I am a gunsmith master. You know, what is it that is in my background that makes me be this elite killing machine, other than you wanted to make a game? So I'm hoping.
What then is Tom Clancy's Elite Squad?
Rainbow Six?
Yeah. It looks very cartoony as well.
So that is a mobile game. That was in that little mobile montage. They had three mobile games back to Brawlhalla. There was one in the middle of that, and then
Team Fortress,
the Rainbow Six game. Yeah, it's very Team Fortressy vibe to it. And I just, as soon as I realized it was mobile, I was like, yeah, whatever. You know, I don't like playing games on my phone. I really don't. I think it's a horrible platform for playing games, unless it's Tetris or something very simple that, you know, lends itself to a small screen.
Samantha Fox, a strip poker, was very, very good.
Well, there's that.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. And there was the other thing, wasn't there? You mentioned Beyond Good and Evil. Was there much more shown on that?
So that was the one that, because I was going back into the stream and I saw the advertisement for it. I think this was just from last year. I don't think this was actually anything current because it wasn't actually part of the Ubisoft event. It was part of their pre-event kind of commercials leading up to it.
That's where I saw it, yeah.
I desperately want to see more from that game because that game looks awesome.
I didn't play the first one. I didn't really like, you know. But this, yeah, this actually looks really good. So I may have to fire up the first one and try it. And
well, the first one, it was different because, I mean, you mm-hmm. didn't really have weapons. It was, if I remember correctly, you used a camera. I'm trying to remember what she, you know, kind of her.
She was a reporter or something, yeah. If I remember right.
But it's in such a unique, different universe on top of it all. And just the upgrade, the graphical upgrade that they were taking that game and the presentation that they threw at us, that looked phenomenal. Mm-hmm. So I really hope we do see more. And Ubisoft did say they're going to have an August event. So maybe we will hear about Beyond Good and Evil 2 then.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Yeah.
So this is
possibly... And that was the event.
But this is sort of... This is E3 sort of stuff, isn't it? You know?
Yeah, very much so.
Yeah.
And an E3 quality type presentation. Again, kudos to Sony and kudos to Ubisoft for actually taking time to create an event that was worthy of being at an E3 press conference. Even if it's not at an E3 press conference, this is what we were hoping we were going to be seeing this year because E3 was canceled.
Yeah.
And instead, you know, we unfortunately were treated to the Microsoft May event, which it had good stuff in it, but the production value was not great. It looked like a bunch of people working from home for the first time. They had bad cameras, that kind of thing. I'm glad to see that these companies are understanding they need to put some effort into the presentation. Hopefully Microsoft has learned from the May event. I don't think they're going to make that same mistake on this upcoming one. EA, you know, look, they had nothing to show outside of Rebel Squadron. That was the one thing that actually was exciting to see out of that event.
Yeah.
The misstep. They've been a misstep every year for the last 5 years. So, you know, EA is what it is. But this is what we were hoping to see. And this is also, you know, what I hope E3 brings back next year. We have another E3 and we have these companies giving this type of presentations in that week of condensed news to look forward to. Because I don't want to go through another 3 months of getting spoon-fed little tidbits of information here and there.
Good. Anyway,
yeah,
I'm going to try and slot this into the main podcast. Thank you very, very much for listening to this little extra segment.
Sure.
And all of these videos are available to watch. If you just look for the Ubisoft conference, it'll be all be there. And thanks, guys, for doing this extra bit.
Yeah. Thanks, everybody.
Mm-hmm.
All right.
Yep, for sure.
See you, guys. Have a good time.
Thank you for listening to the Overseas Connection podcast. See you same time next week.